1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through the end of the chapter. Hear the word of the Lord. Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. He is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Let's pray together. Gracious God, as we turn to your word today, we ask that your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, would be with us, rest upon us, help us to be steadfast in our hearing, in our speaking, in our believing, in our living. Lord, use your revelation from above and your word coupled with your Spirit to transform us into the likeness of Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you were with us last week, you may remember that beginning toward the end of chapter 1 and all through chapter 2, Paul is keying in on this idea of wisdom. Wisdom. It's a word that's found repeatedly throughout the section and used by Paul, broadly speaking, it's what we might call a worldview. It is knowledge, but not just knowledge as in database facts, but knowledge applied. It is knowledge about how to live in the world. It is knowledge coupled with understanding. And he's told us there is a worldly wisdom and then there is a wisdom from God. Worldly wisdom delights in speech and knowledge and pragmatism and cleverness and power, noble birth, things that lead to success as the world sees it, or self-aggrandizement. Very important to the Greeks, very important to human beings in every society. That is the wisdom of this age. But I want to be careful. When we're examining this concept of the wisdom of this age, that we're careful not to demonize the whole pursuit of knowledge and understanding and comprehension. There is definitely a place for that. The Bible is very clear that study and using the mind are ways that we not only glorify God, but that's how we make our way in this world. So it's not to throw out the importance of that, but the Bible also addresses the limitations of intellectualism. Here Paul discusses how we should approach the realm of knowledge and the realm of understanding and the realm of ability. It's amazing the things that research institutions are doing today. I speak to folks all the time who are undergoing certain medical treatments, and they testify this would not have been possible 5 years ago. The technology did not exist. There is cutting-edge work going on by human beings around the globe that surpasses anything that's ever been done in human history. And from the perspective of information, we know more about the world than any society that has ever come before us. It's absolutely mind-boggling, absolutely amazing. I think it's very unfortunate that there are groups of Christians and have been historically that downplay the importance of the role of science, that downplay the importance of the role of using the mind in study and intellectual pursuit and scientific knowledge. This notion that spirituality by definition means anti-intellectualism, that is not the case at all. Not the case at all. Paul repeatedly exhorts us to use our mind. Jesus exhorts us to worship the Lord our God with our mind. That's a very important thing. One of the greatest gifts to humanity is the explorational mind and the ability to employ it to acquire all kinds of knowledge and understanding. That's inherently valuable, both in this life and also to bring glory to God. We can use our mind and bring glory to God in all areas, whether it's finance or law or medicine or biology or philosophy or mathematics or education, or you fill in the blank. It is amazing, the ability and the gift of the human mind. But as amazing as the human mind is, and as incredible as the understanding of this age is in which we live, it's very clear that human wisdom, human knowledge and ability, human understanding does have its limits. And I think there are three ways that Paul addresses this in our passage this morning. Three limits to human ability and knowledge and understanding. The first is it's limited by time. You see that in verse 6. He says, "Yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age." See, here's that distinction. "Or the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away." The idea here being that knowledge of this age is limited by time. It's here for a moment, and then it's gone. We are finite creatures. The rulers of this age are finite creatures. That puts limitations on our knowledge and understanding that we can acquire from a human perspective. I read a great book by Tony Renke a few years ago. He published it through Crossway. It's called Lit. And it's a guide to literature for Christians, how to navigate and make the most of the time if you're trying to become well-read as a Christian. And he says this, putting a perspective on the limit of time when it comes to knowledge and understanding. Just put this in perspective. He says, "Currently, the Library of Congress houses 18 million books. 18 million books. American publishers add another 200,000 titles to this stack every year. This means that at the current publishing rate, 10 million new books will be added in the next 50 years. Add together the existing collection of the Library of Congress with the shiny new and forthcoming books, and you get a bookshelf warping total of 28 million books available for an English reader in the next 50 years. 28 million new books in the next 50 years. Now, Tony is very ambitious. He urges us to set the goal of reading about 3 books a month, every month, for your entire life. And he says if you do that over an average lifespan, you can read 2,600 books. But that is if you are an ambitious book devourer. The most ambitious reader that I know will probably read 2,600 books in a lifetime. So here's his conclusion. For every one book that you choose to read, if you are that ambitious of a reader, for every one book that you choose to read, you must ignore 10,000 other books simply because you don't have the time in this life to read them. Time obviously limits human knowledge, human understanding, human wisdom. That's not to say that human knowledge isn't valuable, but it's simply to admit there is a limit. There is a limit. There's a second limit that Paul points out in our passage this morning. Not only is knowledge and understanding, human knowledge and understanding, limited by time, but it's also limited by our senses. Look at verse 9. He says, "But as it is written," he's going to the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 64, "what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him." There are some things that are simply out of our reach. There are some things that our senses simply cannot perceive. Now, there's no reason in the world to think that our senses aren't reliable. I think we have every reason to be confident that the senses that God gives us to measure and interact with this world are very reliable. However, that does not mean that the limit of our senses represents the limits of reality. I think it's foolish I think it's presumptuous to claim that the only realities that are knowable are those that we can perceive, and if we can't perceive it, there is no reality beyond that. That's presumptuous. That's foolish. Paul is saying here in verse 9, there are limits to our senses. But that does not mean that there aren't things that exist beyond our senses. There are things that exist that cannot be comprehensively perceived by our senses, and there are certain things that God has to reveal in order for us to understand them. Now, that doesn't say that knowledge isn't valuable, that our senses aren't valuable. But the point is, there's things beyond our senses. Our senses are limited in what they can perceive, and the truth that they can perceive, and the knowledge and the understanding that they can perceive. There's a third limit that Paul points out here when it comes to human wisdom. It is limited by access. Verse 11, he says, "For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him?" That's a problem of access. No one knows you like you know you. You know your own thoughts. No human knows you like you know you. You know your own thoughts. You know your own emotions. You know the real you that's inside of you. You know what goes on up here. And Paul is pointing out, we cannot know, truly know, the inner thoughts, the inner motivations, the inner feelings of another human being. In order to do that, we would have to supernaturally be able to put ourselves in it. We can read about them. We can read their biography. We can spend a lifetime getting to know them. But Paul is saying there is limited access. There is only so much you can discern about another human being because you do not have the ability to be inside of them. So the point Paul is making here is there is a place, absolutely, for understanding and knowledge and human wisdom. The problem is when we fail to recognize its limitations. It's limited by time. It's limited by our senses. It's limited by access. And that causes a tension that the Bible fully recognizes. It's saying on the one hand, human wisdom and understanding is remarkable. Remarkable. But on the other hand, it's not comprehensive. It's not all there is to reality. It's not all there is to existence. We don't just inhabit this world to collect data and sort it on a spreadsheet and say that is all there is to life. And I think we know that. I think intuitively we have this sense that there are limitations to what we know, but there is more beyond what we know. That seems to be written on the human heart, whether we recognize it or not. And Paul is pointing that out here. He's saying beyond a naturalistic understanding of this world, beyond an understanding of this world that we can quantify and measure and perceive with our limited senses and the limited amount of time we have and the limited amount of access that we have, beyond that, there is a God who expands the borders of our understanding. There is a God who expands the borders of our comprehension. There is something much greater, and he's not limited by time like we are. Look at verse 7. We're limited by time. Human wisdom is limited by time. Human rulers and the people of this age are limited by time. The rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. Verse 7. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. Before the ages. That means there is a wisdom outside of human wisdom that predates human existence. Before the ages, God's wisdom was. It is eternal in the past. And he says it's for our glory. That's looking ahead to a non-time-bound future. God's wisdom is not time-bound. Eternity past or eternity future, it lasts forever. It will not pass away. It's not limited by sensory perception. Look at verse 9. Human wisdom, the eye can't see it, the ear can't hear it, the heart cannot imagine it. It's limited by the senses, but not God. What God has prepared for those who love him, and these things, verse 10, God has revealed to us through the Spirit. God's wisdom isn't perceivable by the ears. God's wisdom isn't perceivable by the eyes or the imagination unless God opens those ears, opens those hearts. opens those eyes and reveals it to us. It's not limited by human categories of perception, and it's also not limited by access. Look at verse 10. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thought except the spirit of the person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Our understanding is limited by our inability to know someone else fully. And Paul is saying the Holy Spirit knows God the Father fully because he has that ability to dwell in him and know him. And not only does he dwell in him and know him, he dwells in him and knows him, and then he sends him to us, the Holy Spirit, so that we might know the Father. He communicates that to us if we are in Christ, so that he might be personally known. God is not this impersonal force. God is not just this set of data. He's a personal God who makes himself known by sending a personal Spirit who indwells him and comes to us and indwells us if we are in Christ. The one who is limitless, that is God, the one who is limitless enters into our limitations of space. He enters into our limitations of time. He takes on flesh. He becomes one of us in order to communicate himself by the Spirit that indwells him. And we can personally know him. We can personally know him because he personally knows us. Look at verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. There's more to it than that. There's more to life than worldly wisdom. That's not all there is. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. The Holy Spirit knows the inner working of God like a person knows the inner workings of his own self. And he brings that to us. He gives that to those who rest in Christ. In fact, look at verse 16. He gives us the mind of Christ itself. And then in verse 16, he says, we have the mind of Christ. He gives us the eyes to see what is beyond sensory perception. He gives us the ears to hear what is beyond sensory perception. He gives us the heart and the imagination to know that there is something that God has prepared for us beyond this life. He gives those things to those who love him. And that means that knowing God, if you know God in a saving way, that means that is his work from top to bottom. That means that is his work from beginning to end. You get no credit, you get no glory. That is completely a work of God from beginning to end. I think verse 15 kind of gets to the heart of this. Verse 14 says, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. Again, it's a work from top to bottom of God. If you know Christ, it's because of his grace. It's because he's given you ears to hear. He's given you eyes to see. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. That's foolishness. That's in Greek, the Greek, that's scandalon, scandalous. And he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. What does that mean? The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. Well, I think that simply means the believer is going to be a puzzle to the unbeliever. The believer, someone who has received the Spirit of Christ, someone who has received the wisdom of God, someone who has been given the eyes to see and the ears to hear, the heart to imagine what is beyond what we perceive. The believer in Christ is going to be a puzzle to the unbeliever. The believer, because he now operates in two realms, he can understand the unbeliever. I can look at an unbeliever and understand their limitations and that they don't see beyond, because I was one time. Apart from the grace of God, there go I. But the unbeliever looks at a believer and he says, I just don't get it. I see you going to church, but I don't understand the draw. The unbeliever might even come to church and see what's going on, the singing of God's praises, the offering of God's prayers and his people. And it just looks absurd to him. It looks scandalous to him. It looks foolish to him. It looks like folly. But in contrast to the unbeliever, in contrast to the self-made person, in contrast to the one who simply limits themselves to the wisdom of this world and sums up their whole reason for being, their whole purpose for existence and power and style and nobility and what we're able to perceive here, in contrast to that person who seeks their ultimate security in the world, Paul says, we preach the word of the cross. We preach the wisdom of God. We preach Christ and him crucified. We preach a wisdom that extends beyond worldly wisdom. And it is eternal life for those who receive it and place their trust in God. It is the work of the Holy Spirit applying that wisdom that gives us eternal life. Friends, if by God's grace you see that there is more to life than the wisdom of this world, let's give thanks for his work in us. But if you're stuck in this paradigm that all there is to life is what we see and what we perceive, and we live for this and we live for this only, let me encourage you to pray to God the Father, Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit who dwells in the Father and has promised to come to those who will place their trust in Christ. Pray that God would do that work in your heart. Pray that God would open your eyes. Pray that God would open your ears. Pray that God would open your heart, that you might know him. And knowing him, you would know eternal life. Father in heaven, we thank you for the wisdom that is found in your holy word. Lord, give us the understanding to apply your teaching. Lord, as this week comes up, we pray that we would live to your glory and to your honor, that we would live as those who are not simply living for this world, but we are living for a home beyond. And Father, we pray that as we interact with others, whether it be family, friends, co-workers this week, that we would be a witness to enable others to see beyond the wisdom of this world and to point them to everlasting life that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ by your Spirit. And it is in his name that we pray. Amen.